We're going to, as promised, go now and have conversation with David Dolan, a Middle East news update. And David, right out of the box, I need to ask you about what Hamas is doing. They're establishing a military academy for school children. In other words, they want to train up school children to be involved in the armed struggle against the Jewish state of Israel. Your thoughts about that?
Well, they've been propagating hatred against Israel to their children all along, and it's not, frankly, just Hamas, but as you know very well from your interviews over the years and your time in Israel, the Palestinian Authority also sponsors television programs, a version of Sesame Street, which will have some very strong anti-Israel calling upon children to rise up, you know, against the Jewish people. So it's not new, certainly a worrisome development, and just a one of many signs that the Palestinians are not really interested in settling with Israel and having a final peace treaty with Israel and living in peace side by side, as some of their leaders say, as Yasser Arafat pledged to do when he signed the Oslo Peace Accords. And we have to recall, Jimmy, that the existence of the Palestinian Authority and even Hamas ruling Gaza, that is all in an indirect result of the peace process. Hamas wouldn't have been free to throw the Palestinian Authority out of the Gaza Strip in 2007 if the Palestinian Authority hadn't been there as a result of the peace treaty. Otherwise, Israel would still be in control of Gaza, and Jews would still be living in the communities that existed there, the communities that were taken down in 2005 by Ariel Sharon. So that's the background to it, and it's yet another sign that they're going to continue their jihad war until the end. At least that's their view.
Talk to me about Prime Minister Netanyahu winning the election, we think, and I say that with a bit of a question mark in the comment, because of the fact he has to form a coalition government. Talk to me about the win by Netanyahu, the lack of the power that he had last time, and how's he going to form this coalition?
Well, Jimmy, you know, I've discussed Israeli governments for many, many years, and have lived over 30 years in Israel, so seen many come and go. And it is a very lively, thriving democracy in that any party that gets at least 2.5% of the national vote makes it into the Knesset. So we actually have 12 political parties that have made it into this new Knesset. And at the end of the last one, Jimmy, we had a record 17 political parties represented in the Knesset. The reason it was so large is several parties split apart. The Labor Party did. Ehud Barak left, formed his own little coalition and his own little party, and others did as well. So we had so many parties. Well, 12 are in there now. Four are from the center-right or the right, religious parties and the Likud. Four are in the center or left, center-left. And four are Arab parties. So you have quite a representation, quite a diversity of opinion in the Knesset, and that's what we got now. And for Benjamin Netanyahu to form a government, he needs 61 mandates in the Knesset. Well, his party won 31, I believe it was. And the Yesh Atid, a new party, a new centrist party, won 19. And he's going to have to work with them. If he cannot recruit them into his new government, he'll have to rely on just his natural previous coalition partners, the Shas party, an Orthodox party, and two other religious parties, one mainly supported by Jews living in Judea and Samaria. That's they got 11 seats. That's Naftali Bennett's party. His parents were from San Francisco. He's a very wealthy Israeli businessman, has done well for himself over the years. He can form a government with his natural allies, but that only gives him 60 seats. He needs 61. So he needs to take one or two of the centrist parties into his coalition to have a viable coalition. So he's going to try to form this broad national unity coalition, but it's going to be very, very difficult. So we'll have to see how this goes. But everybody's holding out right now their cards, and the smaller parties are saying, hey, here's the price. Here's what we want to join your government. So Netanyahu is scrambling a bit, and as you suggested, it isn't certain he will succeed in forming a government. If he cannot get a government together within 40 days, and by law, President Perez must ask somebody else to try, and that would apparently be Yair Lapid, and he would put together a center-left government. So nothing is certain in Israeli politics. It's very fluid, but it is a very thriving, lively democracy for sure.
And that being said, David, what about what looks into the future for Israel? For example, the new government, whatever form or complexion it takes, is going to have to deal with Egypt and Mohamed Morsi, a Muslim Brotherhood leader. They're going to have to deal with Iran, the threat of a nuclear weapon of mass destruction, the Syrian civil war, the possible use of chemical weapons, and the Palestinians, as we've already talked about. This does not look like it's going to be an easy road ahead for the government, whoever may make up that government.
Well, that's right, and Jimmy, that's Benjamin Netanyahu's main plea right now, if I could put it that way, to these other parties, is that we in Israel are facing enormous problems, enormous issues, existential issues. Iran, vowing to destroy Israel. Bashar Assad under siege, threatening to use his chemical weapons as a last resort, as we talked about before, upon Israel. So these are huge issues, and then there's domestic issues. The economy is slowing down, as the worldwide economy is. In Israel, housing prices are starting to fall for the first time in the whole economic crisis, and other issues that need to be dealt with. So he's pleading with the centrist parties and the right-wing parties to join him, to not make too stiff demands, to bend a bit more and, you know, be willing to work together with him to solve some of these. But it does make it clearer that he's going to have a harder time taking any initiatives against Iran or with the Palestinians, whatever the issue is, because he is going to have a fairly unstable coalition, it looks like, a very diverse coalition where he has a centrist party that wants to see the religious parties weakened and wants to see Orthodox Jews grafted into the army. That's a central platform of the Yesh Atid party, of Yair Lapid's new party. They want to see that. Well, the religious parties are totally against that. So how they can sit around the same table and get along and support the prime minister is anyone's guess. And, Jimmy, I'm kind of thinking that the election results indicate, as many Israeli analysts are saying, we'll probably see a new round of elections within a year or two. And in Israel's parliamentary system, elections can be called at any time if whatever government exists isn't functioning. So that is the current thinking, that this outcome of the election, 50-50 as it were, is just not going to produce a stable government.
Right out of the box, David, the President of the United States, Barack Obama, has called for a resumption of the Israeli-Palestinian peace talks. And meanwhile, King Abdullah, I think this is an interesting statement that the king made in Switzerland with international attendees. He said that the only way there can be a two-state solution between the Israelis and the Palestinians is as long as President Obama is in office and has his power. Your thoughts?
President Obama is not the Messiah. We've already seen that. People sort of had expectations in the first election of him here that he was going to do great things, and he's done a number of things. But making peace in the Middle East, hey, Bill Clinton focused on it. George W. Bush focused on it. Jimmy Carter focused on it. Many have over the years. And a final peace treaty has never been achieved, and that's basically because what you began our conversation with, the Palestinians are not truly ready to live in peace side by side a Jewish state. At least many Palestinians are not, and the Muslim fundamentalists particularly, and Hamas for sure, and they're supported by outside forces like Iran, Hezbollah in Lebanon, and others that give them arms and give them money and keep them going in this opposition, and they simply want to see Israel disappear, period. So that's the basic problem. And if President Obama, Barack Hussein Obama, whose father was a Muslim, if with that background he cannot bring them to the peace table, then nobody can. And I don't know that he's tried real hard, but if he tries this second term in office to do that, I think he'll fail. The Israeli people are not so focused on that issue. That's a side issue right now. They're focused on their economy. They're focused on Iran. They're focused on Syria. These are the imminent crises around them. The new government in Egypt, Morsi, and how they're supporting Hamas, these are the issues they're most concerned about, because this is what's happening on the ground. And the Palestinians right now are just talking as they always have and continuing to not come to the peace table, and that's making preconditions, and that's just the reality of it.
David, thank you so very much, my good friend. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, Jimmy. God bless.